This program is part of Full Service Radio, an internet radio station and podcast network with over 32 weekly shows broadcasting from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. All of our hosts are Washington, D.C. locals, covering stuff like music, arts, culture, identity, politics, and so much more. Visit fullserviceradio.org for all of our programming and enjoy the show. This show, which is also brought to you by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. We love Simplecast. For more information, visit simplecast.com. That is simplecast.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Brightest Young Things Radio. My name is Brandon Weatherby. I am talking to you into a microphone. It is currently 12:01 p.m. on Thursday, January 18th. Sitting with me is Diana Metzger.
Hello, Brandon. Thank you for having me.
Damn right. Diana, you are a writer for Brightest Young Things.
I am. I'm a staff writer covering pretty much everything jack of all trades. I love theater. I love movies. I love television. I love pop culture.
So you've covered two things, essentially. You cover things with people say scripted lines.
Yes.
And then the other stuff.
Yeah. And then the stuff I eavesdrop on and then use for scripted things.
Which relates to one of the pieces that you wrote about the future not queen.
Yes.
What's her name? Meghan?
Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle.
You.
Northwestern alum with me.
And you went to Northwestern?
I did.
Okay, so when people find out that you went to a very good school, do they are they intimidated or do you feel disappointed in them? And does it affect anything?
I feel like everybody knows a celebrity that went there. So they're like, did you know? Did you meet this person?
Before it was the future not queen, who was the celebrity that you knew at Northwestern?
I knew children of, who've since become children of celebrities.
Oh, bring it.
I knew Meryl Streep's daughter, Mamie, was
what?
There. She was the year above me.
Oh, we how was her bone structure?
We took a women's studies class.
Hell yeah.
One day, both she and her sister came. And there was a lot of like blonde power.
I want to make it clear that was not a sarcastic gasp.
No, it was cool.
I'm a big fan of Meryl Streep. Anyways, British Young Things is an arts and culture website based out of Washington, D.C., and we also cover New York and Chicago. Chicago is the city of which Evanston is the suburb, relating back to the future queen, Meghan something.
Markle.
So here's how I know Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
She's on the show Suits.
Yeah.
Which is on the same network as WWE programming.
There you go. I was like, you watch Suits?
I've never seen an
episode.
You're
the one? You and my aunt and uncle?
Hear me out.
Okay. Why,
if Phantom Thread, the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie, if Suits didn't exist, it should have been called Dresses. But I think there was too much hive mind there. That doesn't make any sense. Anyways, yeah, my name is Brandon Weatherby. I'm the editor of Brightest Young Things. Visit us at brightestyoungthings.com. I enjoy my job. I hope you enjoy this show. Today we're going to talk about what's on the site this week. We're going to close with our best weekend bet. So if you're listening to this in the future being not the weekend of January 18th, that won't make any sense to you. But I still recommend considering listening to that because then you'll realize, hey, there's stuff to do in Washington, D.C. that has nothing to do with the federal government. Fun fact, the government might shut down. If the government shut down, the Line Hotel, the place that we were recording this, will not shut down. Is that right,
that's
Jack?
That's correct. We'll stay open.
Fantastic.
Oh, yep. And I got to say, this is my first time here, and this is a darn cool place to be.
No reason to kiss the ring. Anyways, Diana, so I didn't. When I asked you to do the show, I didn't think we'd be talking about what went on the site less than an hour ago. It's an interview that you did with Teresa Rebeck. Is it Rebeck? Teresa Rebeck. I don't love theater the way you love theater. I respect theater, but I don't really understand it nearly as much as you. The reason why I found this interview so captivating was it wasn't just about the play. The play itself is called The Way of the World. It's currently running at the Folger. We'll talk about that in a second. The reason why I wanted to talk about this is because I didn't realize Teresa was the person that was the showrunner of Smash. Is that the term?
Show creator and then showrunner. There's a bit of like sometimes it's one and the same person, sometimes it's a different person.
Okay, so Teresa didn't create the show.
She did create the show and ran it. Basically, sometimes it's two separate people. If the person who created the show is kind of like a greenhorn and hasn't done much TV, they'll pair someone more experienced to run the show with them. But the thing about Teresa is she is crazy experience.
Okay, so because she did Matilda, is it Matilda?
She did, well, she did a bunch like a of movies. She did Harriet the Spy.
Harriet the Spy is what
she
I'm
did the movie
of.
Gossip, but she did a ton of TV in the 90s, was on like LA Law, was on a bunch, like look up her IMDb and it's kind of crazy. Like she's got a ton of experience.
For those that don't remember, Smash was not a show about having consensual sex. It was a show about Broadway.
Yes.
And it was the Marilyn Monroe.
It was the Marilyn Monroe musical. Yeah.
Here's why I don't like you right now. You just gave me the theater pronunciation of Marilyn Monroe. You say Monroe. You do it like the correct way. And I'm like, no. Make it blue collar. I'm literally pointing at a woman with a pen. Like I'm going to tell her how the theater should be run.
But this isn't theater spelled with an R-E, which is how I spell it because I'm fancy. But this is the like Chicago accent in you versus the like Maryland accent.
Oh, okay.
I don't even realize I'm doing it.
It sounds better than mine. Anyways, so she was running the show, and then she was unceremoniously fired. Is that correct?
Yeah, after the first season. And it was a bit, like, when it was happening, basically all that came out was she's difficult, and they didn't like the way she was running it.
Now, that's not the reason why you talked to her.
No.
But I think it translates into why this current piece exists. You had to spend at least an hour on the phone with this woman. With this woman.
Which was awesome, by the way, which was absolutely awesome.
And then you saw her after the play. Mm-hmm. In your very limited time with her, in your limited time with the other actors in this play, did you find her to be difficult?
Not at all. I found her to be super generous, especially because basically for a lot of the interview, I'm a playwright too. I've written for TV. I find her really inspiring. She's written like 6 novels. She's kind of crazy. Prolific. And so I kind of selfishly wanted to ask her. I asked her a ton of like writing process questions, being a woman in the industry kind of questions. And she was super generous with her time. I didn't feel like she had a place, like places to be, even though she wrote and directed this show that's now just started. So she had her hands full and she seemed to have a lot of time for me and was really generous when I met her. So
did she give you any personal tips that didn't make it into the article?
Yeah, we talked a bit about social media because I'm as someone who I now with Brightest Young Things work essentially in social media and I got to promote my articles and I got to be, you know, I joke about like my brand on social media, but I certainly think about it in a serious way too, mm-hmm. like the content I want to put out. But I'm also very frustrated because, you know, people now can make their name and sell books off social media, can get TV shows off social media.
Which you've also written about.
You know, yeah. So it's, I've been a bit frustrated as a writer who wishes that there could be some separation. So I wanted to ask someone who is of an older generation, how do you do it? How do you navigate it?
And
she was really, it was interesting because she kind of did some choice name dropping and was like, well, I know Jonathan Franzen. And I was like, tell me more. And unfortunately, I couldn't get so much juice out of her.
For the people listening at home, I want to make it very clear that Diana is white. That's why she mentioned the famous author, Jonathan Franzen.
Yes.
If you are white, you might know who Jonathan Franzen is. If you are not, good for you. He's not that good of an author.
No.
He is completely overrated. That being said, I really wish my last name had 2 syllables. I think it's more powerful than 3. Franzen is great and also sounds like boxed white wine.
Weatherby sounds wonderful, though. It sounds like a man who could wear a jaunty hat.
I don't like to wear hats probably because I still have some hair.
Missed opportunity.
No. It's a future problem to have. You know what I mean? I don't want to wear hats. Okay, so Jack, you're in the booth right now.
Yep.
You have a full head of hair.
I wouldn't call it full.
Okay, so is that why you're in a hat most of the time?
I've always worn hats, but like as I age, yeah.
Okay, you said you've always worn hats.
Well, always.
Do you think that the hats are maybe causing...
No, that's a myth.
I'm just throwing that out there.
No.
Jack, one of the reasons why I like you is because I'd say every time I've ever seen you, it's been a black hat, usually black thread onto black cloth, which is black on black. So currently you're wearing... Is it a wizard's hat?
It's a wizard's hat.
Is this the first wizard's hat you own?
No. I have a few.
Did you ever own a Bullets hat, and do you still have a Bullets hat?
No, I'm a New Yorker, so this is kind of like, I'm faking it a little
bit. I still
bit.
Have my Bullets jersey from 5th grade in my, closet.
Who's the athlete?
Chris Weber. Okay. You're the man, you're the man. That's the reason I'm a Bullets fan. See, I got it.
God, DC sports is horrible. Okay, so you're a Knicks guy, right,
Jack? I am, yeah.
How happy are you right now that you actually have a legitimate superstar on your team?
Oh, I'm thrilled.
By the way, if people don't understand that the Christian Porzingis, the...
You call him Christian Porzingis?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. If Porzingis, Franzen, and the show Smash, there's a giant Venn diagram. The
really?
Crossover is just dramatic. You would be shocked. Anyways... okay, back to Smash.
So Teresa Rebeck was saying that, talking about there are people who have separate computers, which lucky you, but that don't have internet on them. And so, like, that's the way to keep productivity going.
Hold on. This was Jonathan Franz's advice to Teresa?
Yeah, that apparently he...
That you should own multiple computers. Never have a problem, by the way. Don't ever worry about paying rent. I've never hated Jonathan Franzen more than that pointless piece of advice. Here's another one. Turn off the Wi-Fi on the computer.
There are things that do that. Or...
You know, your fingers do it. You don't need to have an extra program. Just don't connect to the Wi-Fi. Why do we need these things? And I sound like a very old man, but it's actually the young man thing to do. Young kids want those old Motorola phones.
I just want to... I feel like if I'm writing... and I'm not looking at the internet, then I'm like, I'm doing some serious writing. So for me, it's like a point of pride that I have internet on my computer.
Okay, here we go. Do you think you have a problem with the internet?
Yes.
How often do you think that if I wasn't looking at this site, I would be getting more done?
I think about as a kid that I used to go on my computer at night and be writing plays with no impetus for I'm getting paid for this or I have a deadline. I just did it.
Okay.
And there was some internet. We had initially we had the CD-ROMs, the 100 hours of AOL. And I also did kind of dick around in chat rooms and pretend to be other people, which, you know, character work.
All right, what were some of the names?
Or catfishing.
What were some of the names of the people that you pretended to be?
Oh, God.
In the AOL chat rooms?
I wish I remembered the names, but basically, I was auditioning for, being that girl in To Catch a Predator.
Okay. Did you catch any?
No, I did not meet up with them personally, though I did meet many a boyfriend in high school through Weezer chat rooms.
Do you think Pinkerton was a net positive for the culture? The second Weezer album, the Weezer album that is the most adored but is not the highest selling.
In high school, yes. Now in the Me Too era, it's trash.
You are a guest that knows how to transition. After being fired from Smash in 2017, Teresa participated in a book of essays.
Yeah.
One of those essays was excerpted?
Excerpted, yeah.
I can never pronounce that word, and I thank you for doing it correctly. Into Jesus Christ, Entertainment Weekly absorbed it. It ran in Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah.
It kind of made some waves in your industry.
Yeah, I was living in LA at the time, and I work in the TV industry. I've been an assistant, writer assistant, and I've written for TV. And I have a lot of friends who work in the industry. We're pretty navel-gazing. And that article got shared a lot. Because at the time she was fired from Smash, there wasn't a lot of conversation. Basically, like I said, she was just labeled as a difficult woman and moving on. And then people were bemoaning kind of how crazy Smash got and that it ended.
That was in March of 2017?
The article came out March of 2017. So it was sort of, and I was really curious, and we talk about it in the article, but I was fascinated by the fact that I feel like she was sort of prescient to this Time's Up movement and saying, you know, I want to come clean about the fact that, like, they really ruined my career for a while, giving me this label that would not have necessarily been given to a man.
The label being
that she's difficult to work with. And, you know, she goes on to talk a little bit about how then the one show she could get on, which I'm speculating but may not be right, is a show, short-lived show called Canterbury's Law, but I'd have to look it up. But she talked a lot about how it was a super misogynistic atmosphere And so it was sort of like she took what she could get, which is crazy for someone who has had six plays on Broadway, like I said, written six books. Like, you know, how she got smashed in the first place was Steven Spielberg, of all people, saw one of her plays, said, "This is amazing and I want to work with you." Like that this woman is sort of relegated to being put on whatever show she can get put on after creating a show that was really buzzy and a hit. And then because she's fired off it and called difficult, then she's sort of relegated to whatever she can get, is nuts and is kind of then what these conversations are being, which is about more transparency in the workplace with inequalities that women are suffering.
Speaking of nuts.
Yeah.
Let's transition to a different piece that you've written called Escaping the Room. You worked with Tommy Wiseau, who is clearly in no way sexist. Or weird.
No.
And, Jack, do you know what we're talking about? Do you know who Tommy is?
Of course.
Okay, fantastic. You're a big close personal friend.
Oh, yeah.
There's like a 90% chance that Tommy Wiseau walks into this room, no, pun intended, in the, like, the next month.
Oh, I hope so.
I really hope he's
not. I don't know. We're not in L.A.
No, no. He's one of the dude. Who's the best friend?
Greg. Sestero.
Greg will be at the February 1st screening of The Room at... AFI Silver Spring.
Interesting. Well, and Tommy loves to come to any screening.
There you go.
Oh my God, we have to have him here.
No, we don't.
I do.
Feel free. That's
this
your life.
Would be the world. You would be here for like for which was part of my article. You would be sitting here for 8 hours just listening to him talk.
The year is 2009.
2011.
2011. Yeah. The Room is gotten. It's already achieved cult status.
It's got cult status. Yeah.
As of 2011, Franco does not own the rights. The Disaster Artist does
hasn't
not
hasn't been written yet.
Exactly. Okay. Your friend has an idea.
Yeah. My good friend of mine. I'll give a shout out to my buddy Adrian Spencer. Was obsessed with The Room for a while and kind of made these connections with Tommy. I'm not exactly sure how, but said, I think we should do like a documentary series, a kind of reality series following you and this kind of cult status that's building.
Which is a great idea.
No brainer. Yeah. He is a character and he is like kind of a prime ideal reality character to follow. And so they were doing a lot of like behind the scenes taping, but also Adrian kind of got brought up in the theater world too, alongside me, which is how I know him from doing work since we were little kids at Roundhouse Theater. And he was like, well, we're going to do this staged reading of The Room. You know, they've never done something like this before. The Room, the script is not published. A good friend of mine, Dave Cleon, actually did the dirty work of typing up the entire script and publishing it on the internet. It's not, I don't think it's epically huge.
Okay.
I think it's like fairly a standard. I think it's, you know, like a 90 minute film.
It is a 90, but like it's not crazy short. It's not crazy long.
No.
Yeah, that's what everyone's been saying for a decade. Script length is the problem with The Room.
But this is the thing too, is he, I thought, okay, great, sure, I'll do a staged reading. I was a theater major and.
You had seen The Room before you signed on to this?
Okay. Yes. I thought, oh, this will be a kick. You know, I met him briefly, like, you know, he was throwing a football around at E Street Cinema.
Yeah.
Said hi. That was the extent of it. So I didn't know. So I knew the movie. I had lived in LA for years when he had that giant billboard up. So like I knew the culture around it, but I didn't know how nuts this man was. One, he wouldn't give us the scripts. He wouldn't even give us the scripts for a staged reading, which
That's
is
great.
Part of it. So instead, we were just going to wing the movie. He was going to feed us lines and we're just going to wing it. And so about after 7 or 8 hours of just winging it, which included doing... constantly exiting and entering a room.
Well, it's called The Room,
and if you guys have seen The Disaster Artist, the film, you know, one of kind of the epic scenes is Tommy having to do something like 120 takes just entering a room and saying like, hi, Mark.
Yeah.
So
that's true to life.
It really tracks. It really tracks.
Okay. Did anybody... The Room at this point, people have seen it dozens, if not hundreds of times. People have it memorized. Did anyone in the cast... have it memorized? Was anybody a super fan?
Not to the extent that they'd had it memorized by that point, but they were super fans in that, like, oh, this is going to be funny. They knew the bits.
Okay.
They knew the throwing the football, and they knew a couple lines here and there, but, you know.
So you're working on winging it for no apparent reason if it's a direct from the script for 7 to 8 hours.
Yes.
What changes after those 8 hours?
He just gets more and more aggressive.
Okay.
And he was, you know, throwing chairs. He was calling us all Mickey Mouse performers. He was just like, his arrogance was so overblown. And so the first hour it becomes funny and you're kind of watching a sideshow. And then by the fourth hour, you think this man is really sad. And then by the seventh or eighth hour, you're like, why am I putting myself through this torture?
This is, before we ran this, you and I had a pretty in-depth conversation about, is he stable?
Yeah.
Are we just mocking Tommy Wiseau because there's something wrong with him? And you said no.
Yeah, I don't think he, you know, I think his issue is like narcissistic personality disorder. I'm not like a psychologist, but,
sure,
you know, he is someone who cares about what's happening in his own sphere of existence.
You've worked in Hollywood, yeah, baby. does he remind you of anyone? Name names, ages, weights, heights, social security numbers if you have them.
Mike, well, I couldn't tell you his ethnicity.
Who?
If that's what you're Tommy Wiseau.
What? Oh, yeah, that's it. No, but is there any, did Tommy remind you of anyone you had dealt with in the past?
I mean, I've worked for a talent agency.
So is that a clear yes? I don't know what that means.
Yeah, well, yes, yes. I also have gone through theater school. So, but as opposed to, unlike those people who have worked at an agency, so they've gone through law school, they have intellectual chops, and theater teachers who also have intellectual chops. All Tommy had was that, like, egocentrism that told him, like, everything he said was brilliant.
Okay.
So he had nothing else to back that up.
Okay. Have you seen The Disaster Artist?
Yes.
When did you see it?
I saw it over, like, the holidays,
okay,
around the
great
holidays.
So well before the Golden Globes, well before the Franco stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll get to the Franco stuff, because whatever. What did you think of it as someone that had worked with Tommy for a very brief period that was smart enough to not follow through with it? Read the article if you want to know how it ends.
Yeah, I've read the book.
Okay.
I've read the book, and I enjoyed the book, and I thought it was really well done.
Okay.
Seeing the movie, I thought it was really fun.
Okay.
Like, the honestly, a couple of the best parts are, like, if you stay during the credits, they pair you know, their version of the movie with the actual movie, and so that's really enjoyable to watch. I thought Franco's portrayal is, like, spot on. That's the kind of, I mean, and Franco is his own kind of egoist, but we'll get it, you know.
We'll get to that right now.
Yeah.
He wins the Golden Globe for Best Comedic Actor.
Yeah.
Was that right? Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So what did you think of bringing up Tommy, bringing up his baby brother?
It was, yeah.
Did you think it was normal, whatever? It didn't bother you at all? It made you happy? No reaction?
I don't know. I think bringing up his brother thing was a little precious, especially because he didn't let his brother speak. Which is fine. He doesn't have to. It's his award. But then the Tommy of it all, one, it almost seemed like at first, which was really pleasant, was like, did he even invite Tommy up? Also, there was some joy in seeing that, like, Franco, you know, was basically could have jumped on stage from where he was. Tommy had to navigate that whole, I mean, that's one of my favorite thing about award shows is seeing, like, where they put people and then that idea of those people having to navigate their way up there. The strong arming of it all, which I'm sure is interesting, understandable, because I think if they had given him the mic, he would have run his mouth for a long, long time. I think the opportunity to give him the mic would be like backstage when press is talking, and then that's kind of a fun bit, but not during the ceremony.
What do you think of the Tommy Wiseau, Tanya Harding candid from
Epic?
Okay.
I think I posted it on Twitter, or I posted it on, I think, yes, I posted it on my Twitter and basically said, like, can Tanya please play Lisa in a revival?
Okay, so Lisa famously did not enjoy her time with Tommy.
No.
She was against the film for a very long time. Only recently is okay with it. She's also a Christian now.
Yeah, she sort of, I mean, lives a really quiet life. I kind of was looking up. She now has Twitter for a while. She didn't. And she sort of is, I think, embracing the love. She liked the movie. She saw Disaster Artist and liked it because she appreciated, what's the actress's name who I love, who plays Lisa? the actress who plays Lisa.
Jack will get that to us in a second.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it totally makes sense why she was
Ari Grainer.
Hold on.
Sorry,
Juliette Danielle.
Played Lisa. Ari Grainer played her in The Disaster Artist.
There we go.
Thank you.
She liked Ari Grainer's portrayal.
Okay. So that makes sense. She came off as a very sympathetic character. But when The Disaster Artist made it, it came out in 2003, so it was made in like 2002?
Yeah.
Oh, man, just after 9/11. I can't believe it. So that was
the movie we all needed.
It was the movie that united the country. But more importantly, if that movie was made now and with social media, I don't think it has cult status because Tommy is clearly abusing women.
Yeah.
Throughout your one day of work with this man.
He was abusive. And apparently it got worse. And apparently they tried to do it again because I think...
Hold on. I'm confused. Yeah. They tried to do the play again?
The play again. Okay. The play again. They tried to do the play again. I was like, no, thank you. I'm not going to be involved.
Yeah.
But when I posted the article from BYT... my friend Adrian, who I was talking about, shared it, and people who'd done the play and talked a bit about doing it again. And, oh, do you remember when he, you know, almost hit this girl? And, you know, so it's disturbing.
Which relates to lead actor, director, and star of The Disaster Artist, James Franco.
Yes.
The most recent stories of him. So... could you catch me up on this?
Yeah, there was.
Because I'm somewhat confused.
Yeah, there was an LA Times article that was written and basically saying so. It referenced an issue that happened, I think it was a few years ago, where Franco was messaging a girl who was 17.
And this is the thing where he said it was an art piece and it was like he did it intentionally for show. Is that the thing?
No.
Okay.
No. This was basically he was in Of Mice and Men on Broadway. A girl was there and he had said he had been using this tactic, which is so creepy, that when they want to take a selfie, he thinks they're hot, he'll say, oh, tag me. And then he'll get in touch with them over DM. And basically he was trying to get this girl to... sleep with him, and he was saying, should I get a room at your hotel? Who are you traveling with? She says, my mom. You know, he asks how old she is. She says 17, and he persists. He, at this time, I think, is 34. So I don't know what the age of consent is in New York City, but it's disturbing nonetheless.
Hear me out. Last year, when Elizabeth Warren kept speaking on the floor of the House, I'm sorry, no, of the Senate, she was shut down. And Mitch McConnell said, nevertheless, she persisted. And she persisted became a hashtag for a minute. Why hasn't the James Franco story became
or
a hashtag?
Or the Aziz Ansari story.
He persisted.
Yes.
Why isn't that a thing?
Starting it now.
Jackal refuses to make eye contact with me right now.
I was looking up the age of consent, 17 in New York.
Oh.
Okay. So.
Doing the real work while we're creating the hashtags. That's brilliant. But the biggest issue, more so than him, also the problematic thing was that he put the onus on this girl's mother when he kind of got caught and that story circulated a couple years ago. He said, well, where was this girl's mother? Why wasn't she monitoring what this girl was saying? And so he was like, well, you know, I make some mistakes.
Why are you giving him that accent?
I don't. This is my like doofy man voice.
I don't think. Thank you. Okay, hold on. Not defending Franco here, but no. did he do anything illegal, or is he just a sleazy dude?
This is where the LA Times story comes in.
Okay,
And this is where it gets worse. So he created some film schools, some acting schools, one in New York, one in LA, and stories were coming out that. He was, there had been promises made, I think, in the language of the school that you'll have the opportunity to be in films that James Franco is a part of. The only opportunities that were coming up for these students were playing hookers or strippers or basically background characters where you are topless. That he was making them sign topless waivers. And when women were getting upset and wanting to stop filming, he said, well, you signed this waiver. You agreed for $100. You were going to be topless. The very problematic thing that has apparently been confirmed by a couple sources in the LA Times article is that he convinced some of these girls to do orgy scenes with him and was removing the covers on their vaginas.
Okay.
During this scene.
Hear me out. He's the star of the hit HBO show The Deuce. All right. No, this is horrible. I get it.
No. And I do. Well, and it's... I have to say I do love The Deuce.
See, I haven't...
I do love
So you're willing to separate artists from the art.
Well, I don't, this is the thing, is for a while before this came out, my husband was like, oh, I love the James Franco parts of The Deuce. And I've never, he's given me an icky feeling even before these stories. What I like about The Deuce is I love David Simon and I love George Pelicanos. And there's a lot of like mystery writers he hires that I love. And Maggie Gyllenhaal, it's just, I would cut his scenes out if I could.
You know, I just refuse to believe that the star of Spring Breakers is a sleaze in any way. I just fucking love Spring Breakers. It's great. Anyways, yeah, this sucks. It's sad. Read about it, kind of, on British Junk Things. yeah, so both pieces are currently on the website. You can easily find them. The piece about the way of the world, it went up at 11 a.m., so just go to BritishJunkThings.com. You can find it right there. If not... come back to the site later this afternoon and we will have a roundup of everything that we've discussed today. We're going to take a little bit of a break and then come back with Best Weekend Bets.
Break song today by Kido. That's K-I-E-D-O. Song is called Avancar.
Every single week on British Young Things, every single Thursday, we release our best weekend bets. Receive them in your email box. Do people call them email boxes? No, they never have. Great, fantastic. Inboxes. Email boxes it is. Every Thursday at 9 a.m., we usually give away things if you subscribe to them. So that's how you'll win things. If not, it's your life. I don't care. Pay for everything. We don't care. They're live at noon, which means they're live right now. We're going to give ours for DC. We also have Gay Best Weekend Bets picks. We also have New York Best Weekend Bets picks, and we have Chicago Best Weekend Bets picks. We are going to focus on Washington, D.C. Diana, what is your pick for today, Thursday, January 18th?
I am all about the live storytelling this weekend. There's a moth show tonight. And then on Sunday, Story District, actually, Story District has a show at the Lincoln on Saturday, but it is sold out, which is pretty awesome. So they have added a show on Sunday.
People love hearing people talk. It's a fantastic phenomenon. It's brand new. No one's ever used their voice to portray a story. I'm going to recommend BYT Murder Club tonight at Sun Cinema. The film is Murder by Death. It has nothing to do with the band Murder by Death. Jackie, are you a fan of the band Murder by Death? Your mic
Sorry,
is not
I don't
hot.
Know them.
You do not know Murder by Death. You're saying you've never had a beard, a weight problem, and love craft beer? You're not a big...
All those things have been true, but I don't know Murder by Death.
Is very
I'm looking
good.
At them right now.
Murder by Death is very good. Play some Murder... If I'm talking about the band Murder by Death, I know you can play some. So just play...
Yeah, let's see what the
whatever
first thing
the
that
first
comes
result.
Up.
Stan, this are you... you know the band Murder by Death?
No, I don't. I'm tragically unhip.
Oh, don't ever reference that band.
Oh, my God. The name of this record is Bitter Drink, Bitter Moon. You weren't kidding.
Yeah, huh? I know. They're great. So do you know the show True Detective?
Yes.
Okay. The theme song by the Hanson Family. They get a lot of their stuff from the Hanson Family. The Hanson Family is a duo that was formerly out of Chicago, now based in New Mexico. Murder by Death is a lot of people. There's a violinist, there's a drummer, there's more than two people. Anyways, it's very good. It's really good sad drinking music, but not the kind of sad drinking music that will lead you to suicide. You know what I mean? It's not Elliott Smith sad.
Or if you want to be productive, I was just thinking this is wonderful music to write to.
Wait till the voice comes in. It's not. It's because it's story songs. It's not just like, it's not lyrical sketches like Cobain. It's just like every song's about Joe and Joe's sad.
Side note, Hanson Family is not the Hanson kids, huh?
Are you trying to learn or are you trying to be funny?
No, I'm trying to learn.
Okay. Hanson, as a trio, is from Ohio.
Ohio.
And they are Christian.
Known for Mbop.
Yes.
And Mhops.
Exactly.
The beer.
And every year they have a giant festival and everyone loves them and they all have very healthy marriages with like a dozen kids because they're very Christian.
Mm.
place. See what I mean? Where a body can hide. There we go. You can cut it now. That's Murder by Death, the band. See Murder by Death, the movie, tonight at Sun Cinema. If you want to know more about Sun Cinema, listen to The Line every Tuesday. Is that right?
Close. The Sun Cinema podcast is on, Tuesdays at noon. It's not called The Line. I don't know why I said listen to The Line, but...
Listen to Full Service Radio that's at The Line. Maybe because every other place I look, it says The Line. Yeah, maybe that's why.
Fair.
Subliminal.
Maybe because
so
it says on my mandatory script, The Line. They give us mandatory scripts, people. Anyways... other recommendation for today and through the next month is the brand new exhibit at Arctic House. It's the thing you've seen on Instagram. It's an art exhibit.
You can see things on Instagram? Continue.
Are you trying to be funny or just mean?
Both.
All right. Friday, what's your pick, Diana?
Friday, I am all about The Wolves, the play The Wolves by Sarah Delep at Studio Theater. It's part of the Women's Voices Festival. It's about a girls' soccer team. So it's an all-female cast. They have a soccer choreographer. It's going to be a cool
show. That's a thing?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know, and it's a friend of mine from college, so I'm pretty psyched.
How often do you see plays?
Pretty often. I'd say like a couple times a month, especially in DC. DC's got some really, really good theater. And I worked for Studio Theater for a while. I've worked for Roundhouse Theater. One of my best friends works at Shakespeare Theater, so I'm pretty like tapped into the scene. And there's just a lot of great stuff going on, especially during Women's Theater Festival in the next couple months. Some like great, great new plays.
Speaking of women, I'm going to recommend the March for Life.
Mm.
Now, the March for Life is an annual March for pro-life people, anti-choice people. The reason why I'm recommending them that is because on Brightest Young Things this morning, we have an interview with Gnarls, Kaylee Hansen-Long, who does the opposite of the March for Life. So read that on brightestyoungthings.com.
That March probably would be a pretty good character study for...
No, it's not. It's really depressing and sad. The end. Okay, moving on. I'm going to recommend Yacht at Rock and Roll Hotel. We have a feature interview with Yacht that Megan, the fantastic Megan Burns out of New York, did. That is also available on the site. What is your pick for Saturday?
Saturday is a nice little antidote to the March for Life, which is the Women's March. So our New Yorkers, there's also one happening there. Hopefully there's one happening in Chicago.
There's one everywhere.
There's one everywhere. So, you know, don your pussy hat and let's get walking.
Did you walk last year?
I did in LA.
How was it?
It was really cool. It was crazy crowded all over, but there was something truly awesome about after the fact, no matter what neighborhood you were in, like I was in my neighborhood in Highland Park in LA, with my daughter, and there were just people walking around wearing hats. And so it was kind of like an open way to start an introduction with strangers. And that's how nice. Cool is that?
Two things about what you just said. Number one, Trump is the first president, I think, since like Eisenhower, maybe, that didn't visit California in his first term. That's interesting. That's a little fun fact.
We didn't want him.
We got it. You don't live there anymore. You can't claim we.
Aww.
You do whatever you want. I don't care. I take that back. I apologize. Number two, 500,000 people came in Washington, D.C., 0 arrests. And I shouldn't be, like, so surprised and impressed by that. Maybe it's just because I'm a dumb man, but I'm like, 0 arrests?
It's because women should be running the world.
All right. Controversial statement here on British Junk Things Radio. I'm going to recommend Ice Yards at Yards Park because they're going to try to set the record for D.C.'s largest shot ski.
Oh.
You like doing a shot from a big ski?
That's
like the Women's March, but in ski form, right? All right.
Equal opportunity alcohol.
Another thing I'm going to recommend is at Trade. It's a show called it's a whole evening called Gay Bash. It is the opposite of actual gay bashing. It is a LGBTQ friendly show called Gay Bash, and this week's theme. It's not just kept saying show. It's like a dance party. Is goth. And I really wish 2018 was the year of the goth. It's clearly not the year of the goth. In fact, no year will ever be the year of the goth.
Do you have some black lipstick you're really hankering to bust out?
Hell yeah. I got black everything. I wish everyone would be into goths. They're not. I apologize. I want there to be a year of the goth. It will never reach that. Oh, well. Moving on. You've already given your pick for Sunday. It's Story League at the Lincoln Theater. Saturday night is
Story District.
Story District. I apologize. Story League is a former
storytelling
league. God, how many... Stop telling stories. Jesus. Speaking of stories, I'm going to recommend more stuff at Sixth and I, which relates to the Women's March. So if you were inspired from the Women's March, go to Sixth and I on Sunday. There's an entire event related to the Women's March. And the most interesting pick of the weekend, I think, that isn't related to politics, I guess everything's political, is Art You Can Eat. It's at Toki Underground, and it features this as amazing artist, Marcella, and I'm always going to mispronounce her name. Could you read the name for me if I give it to you?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So
and then you're putting the onus on me if I mispronounce it.
You just pronounce words better than me, and that's why I'm the host of the show. She's a wonderful artist, and I follow her on Instagram, and I recommend that you do the same, but I can never figure it out. The entire event is called Art You Can Eat, a food-focused watering workshop led by food illustrator and cookbook author I can't say her name. It's not a difficult name.
Marcella, I want to say Kriebel.
See?
Kriebel.
Kriebel. Exactly. So her. That's my pick for Sunday. In addition to, let me give you more information about the Sixth and I. It's called Empowered, an evening of arts and activism. So there's a lot of Women's March related stuff this week. There's an art show down the street at the DCAC. It's a wonderful time to be in DC if you don't mind a little cold.
I feel like this is like a very lady power weekend, which is kind of exciting and cool.
Brady Chung thinks it's majority women. Our boss is a woman. Our New York editor is a woman. I'm not. It's the Man's Hour. Thanks for listening to the Man's Hour, sponsored by Brady Chung Things. We'll be back here next week. Next week is the last week of Murder Club at Sun Cinema. So if you're thinking about going tonight or next week, buy tickets now. They've been selling out. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.